If you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 5. Amen. Those of you that are flagging, we got some air on. We got the heat off right now. We're trying to make you right. If you're a little chilly, slip on a jacket. If you're a little hot, keep fanning. Glory. Those of you that's just right, warm up. Glory. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. For ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, for on a candlestick, and it is giveth light unto all that are in the house. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it awesome to think about a God that can take care of us, that can provide for us, but that can light us up? Amen. And notice what he said. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Amen. I shared with them last Sunday night. For those of you who wasn't there, I'll share with you again. I'm in Israel. We're in Tiberias. That's the place where you go when you go to recreate in Israel. Israel is a planned country. If you want government, you go to Tel Aviv. If you want religion, you go to Jerusalem. If you want industry, you go up around Haifa. If you want farms, you go up around Hebron, back up in the area where Christ was when he stood at the gates and said, I stand at the gates of hell, and they not shall not prevail. He was actually in the farming area of Israel. If you want to go to Tiberias, that's where people go to have their vacations. The Sea of Galilee's there. It's beautiful. We get there, and everybody's promised they're going to have a room overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Somehow there was a mistake made, and my room got slapped on the other side of the building from everybody else. And Alex and I don't get to see the Sea of Galilee. We get to see a construction site. You know, every night people brag about looking at the Sea of Galilee, and I'm bragging about my crane. And it's good to know folks are the same all over the world. They had to take all the equipment, lift it up on the crane, be sure nobody stole it. Glory. That's amazing, isn't it? And I was up there having a pity party because people talk about how pretty the sun was, and I wanted to see the sun come up. And I'm having a pity party about it because I can't see the sun come up over the Sea of Galilee. I can't even see the Sea of Galilee. And I'm sitting there one night, and I'm all upset. I've been reading, and Alex was off with Brother Blackman. They were doing something. And I was sitting out there on the balcony, and all of a sudden the Lord said, look. And I looked, and I saw this place up on the North Shore. It was just lit up. And he said, that's Sephar, the city I was looking at when I said a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And even in Jesus' day, the metal roofs would shine on that place when they had the torches lit in the street. And you could see that city from all over the Sea of Galilee. And he said, that's what my people ought to be, a light that shines. Because, see, they still have the metal tops on those buildings. And guess what? In the daytime, sun hits the top of the building, you can still see that city. It just lights up where you can see it any way you want to look at it. And you know what? That's what we ought to be 24/7, 365 days out of the year. We ought to be a light that's not hid, not stuck under a bushel, not set off to the side, but a light that gives light to everybody we come in contact with. When we see people hurting, we ought to be a light that lets them know there's a God somewhere that can heal the hurting of your life. When we get to the place that we feel depressed, there ought to be a light that'll shine in their light saying, hey, I've got a God that can give you joy, that is unspeakable and full of glory. We ought to be a light that lets them know when troubles are coming, there's a God that gives a peace that passes all understanding. Everybody we pass ought to feel the light of God coming out of us. Could you say amen? You might need to go kill that. It's getting a little cool up here. Glory. I can see some people waving, some others putting all kind of stuff on. Glory. Glory. Snow will be in a little while. Amen. It's very easy when we live in such a dark world to somehow let our light get dim. It's easy sometimes not to want to be conspicuous. But if we're a light in the dark world, we're going to be conspicuous. If we're a light in the dark world, our love for others in the world full of hate is going to be different. The peace that we have is going to be in a hectic world. It's going to be weird to people around us. but it lets them know there's a God that can give them that kind of peace, that kind of joy, that kind of love. If the world sees in us the same thing that's happening in them, they're not ever going to want to change. But if we somehow can have a light in our heart and in our life that moves them to realize there is a God who can do something. Come on, church. Amen. I have a brother-in-law that's an atheist. Don't know that he's ever translated over. But I remember preaching his son-in-law's funeral in New Orleans. I'll be honest with you, that was one of them times when I really pushed myself. I was preaching a camp meeting, and I preached on Friday night, drove all night to New Orleans, preached that funeral on Saturday morning, drove back and preached that night in the camp meeting. And I got there that day, and the young man was Catholic, but the priest would not give him last rites nor preach his funeral because he hadn't been to church for a while. He showed up at the funeral, but he wouldn't do the funeral. The young man was not a Christian. Sad part about it, 29 years old, died of a brain tumor. He did not know God. He had a website called Evil Days. And I got there, and all I could think was, God, could you help me show somebody there is a God in this place who could do something in somebody's life? I can't help heal, but there may be somebody here that I can touch, somebody here that can realize there is a God. When the service was over, my brother-in-law walked by me. He said, for the first time in my life, I feel like there might be a God somewhere. Amen. Glory. I'll never forget the priest come to me and he said, I got to admit, son, there was a reason I couldn't do this funeral. I would have never done it justice as you did. It was as if you had known that young man all of his life. And I said, be honest with you, I only met him twice and I didn't know him that well. But the truth of the matter was, I got a God that knew him and a God that knew what his family needed to hear and a God could help me shine a light into a dark world and see somebody get lit up. Could you say amen? And it's time some of us made up our mind. We want to be a light to a lost and dying world so that they can see the God that brought us out and gives us power in our life. If we allow God to use us, then those things in us will touch people and be a light to those that are in darkness. And they can see something in us that makes us. Listen, church, I didn't get saved because some preacher preached a dynamic message and got me in an altar. I remember the night I got saved, I didn't see stars falling out of the sky. You know, I didn't see a cross. I stumbled into church. I know it was God's will, but I wasn't intended to be at that church. I intended to be at the hunting club, but he ended up at church. I don't remember a thing Brother Duckworth said. I just know he stopped right in the middle of his sermon and said, I want everybody to come to the altar. And every single one of them folks went to the altar. They wasn't a one of them people so saved they didn't need to go. And I'm sitting back there looking like sin on a popsicle stick. I figured I'd go with them so I wouldn't look so conspicuous. I ended up in the altar. Next thing I know, they're praying for me, and I ended up getting saved. But while I was praying through, in the back of my mind, I kept hearing this voice saying, God, save kid. It was a light that shined into my life by a man by the name of Mark Perkins, who would get up every morning into whole school. He'd read the Bible over the intercom. He would pray, and the last thing out of his mouth every morning was, God, save Kenny. And everybody in that school knew who he was talking about. But he kept flashing that light. He wasn't like everybody else. We had guys in the church, in the school, that'd come around and they'd witness to you. And the next week, they'd be out drinking with us. I didn't have no time for those guys. This guy bugged me because he was real. There was something about him that was different. There was a light that came out of him that lit up everybody he got around. I tried to put his light out, and I'm not going into that, but I treated him bad. And it came to a point one day that he took his own blood, wiped it off the side of his face, and reached over and rubbed it on my hand. He said, if you're good enough for Jesus, you're good enough for me. I ain't giving up on you. Glory. And the night I got saved, all I could hear was him saying, God, save Kitty. Because of the light he put in my life, I couldn't get away from it. And I want to tell you tonight, there are people in your life that you can make a difference. You may not see it today or tomorrow or the next day, but you can be that light that shows them there is a God who can do great things in their life if you'll just let God use you. Amen. In 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off back there. You got it right. I was reading wrong. some reason I can't see good. Glory. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not have the truth. Come on, church. These guys said, I got to sin every day. See what that scripture just said about them. And if you believe that, you better get back in this book, because this book does not tell you that. Well, preacher, all of us got to sin every day. Show me that in this book. I got money for you if you can show it to me, because it ain't in here. What it says is, if I'm born of God, I won't sin. What it says is, if I walk with him, I'm not going to be in darkness. What it says then is, if I've died of this world, I live in Christ. And if I live in Christ, I am dead to sin, and sin no longer has control over me. Now, am I perfect? No. Will I mess up? Sometimes I might. But I've got a God that said, if you sin. If I was going to sin every day, he wouldn't have used that word. He'd said, when you sin. He didn't say that. He said, if. Why? Because it's not a natural occurrence in my life anymore. I'm losing half of you, but I'm preaching the truth. Glory. Some of you better get this book out and start reading. Y'all been looking on the internet and reading too many idiots. It's in this book. And we need to get back to it. That's why we don't have the light. We put the light out in our own life. We've gotten so used to darkness, we don't understand how light has gotten so dim around us. You ever walk in a restaurant, you can't hardly see, and you sit there after a while, you get to where you can see, because your eyes get accommodated to what little bit of light you got, and you start reading like you were out in the main light, and you figure like everything's okay. That's the way some people are in the church. They've been so accustomed to darkness, they don't understand the light is going out of their life, and they need to understand there's only one way, one truth, one life, and you can't live in the darkness, and you can't have fellowship with the darkness if you're going to walk in the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, church, God knows I ain't perfect. So I told me one day, said, what would happen if you backslid? I said, oh, it wouldn't be just a matter of time. I'd be a drug addict, an alcoholic again. Why? You mean you'd go back in it? I said, what put me there the first time, put me there the second time. What keeps me out is God in my life. And as long as God's in my life, I don't need all that other. But there's something wrong in me that would put me right back where I used to be if it wasn't for the presence of God and the light of God that's in my life. Amen. Come on, church. God understands I got a temper. He helps me control it sometimes. Glory. But he also understood that a person with a temper like mine could learn to sit in the right way and could be an evangelist for 35 years when everything kept telling him to quit. But I turned it into the tenacity that kept me in a ministry and kept me doing what I'm doing, because he understood I needed that quirk to make it. Come on, church, smile at me. He knows what's wrong with you. He knows those things you deal with every day. But he also knows that if you'll give them to him and pray and seek his face, he will put light in your life that will help you be an overcomer through the power of his divine love. He will give you the anointing of the fire of his spirit that will light you up from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and will lead, guide, and direct you into all truth. Well, preacher, I make bad decisions. Walk in the light. And if you walk in the spirit, what happens? You shall not fulfill the laws of the lust and the flesh. What's it saying? If I let the spirit lead me, I don't get stuck into the laws of the flesh. I make better decisions. Why? Because I'm making them not in my own mind, but in his mind and with his anointing. Come on, church. Woo. And when I go to church and I start singing his songs, I got something to sing about. I get so tickled. You know, you get in the light just right, and there's always somebody going to come along and try to knock your light out. And they're not always outside the church. Some folk in the church are like, well, I don't believe I'd act like that. You don't know where I came from. I don't care where you come from. I know where I came from, and if I won't get excited about it, it's my business. Glory. Some of y'all sit around and get talking about addictions. You know, I even had a guy call me one time and tell me you could not get delivered from drug addiction and alcoholism. The guy got saved in his church. Pastor put him to teach Sunday school class. Church started growing because he's filling Sunday school class. That was the people he used to sell dope to. I may get him down here one night to let him talk to y'all. Lord. You see some of y'all are like, well, I don't know about that. Hey, this guy was the biggest dope dealer in Etowah County. Came to church, got saved, started filling the church up. The same people he sold dope to, he started selling Jesus to them. This man calls me and said, you know, that guy's running our church. He's got all them dope heads getting in church, and they're bringing in more dope heads. There ain't enough room for the good people. He said, you got to talk to Pastor. You got influence with him. Sure I do. I used to change a boy's diapers when he was a kid. I've had influence with him all his life. But I wasn't about to call him, tell him that this guy was doing wrong, because he wasn't doing wrong. He was winning people to Christ. The guy doing wrong was a dude calling me wanting to shut him up. His light's out. He don't know what it is to have one burn. He done cut his wick off. Don't even know what a candle is anymore. And he's got a guy with a light, and he's trying to put his light out. Oh, don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me. I'm preaching the truth. Glory. That guy told me, he said, well, preacher, you know you can't get delivered from drugs and alcohol. He said, you need to call, tell that preacher this is just a short-term thing. That guy's going to go back, and all them's going with him, and the good folks will be gone. I said, dude, I know you've never been in church from me, but just this last time. But you need to get my testimony. He said, why? I said, I was a drug addict and alcoholic when I got saved, and God delivered me. And if he can deliver me, he can deliver anybody. Click. I don't know why, but he never called me back. He's gone. The good people left. Them drug addicts make up most of that church now. Glory. I know boy pastors there. They got 80 and 90 of them going to church, and they're enjoying themselves. They're not drug addicts anymore. They're born again child of God. One of them drug addicts opened up a business and started selling stuff like he sold drugs. He don't know what he's worth. He's one of the biggest tithe payers. Glory. Because he used the same sales principles he used on the street. Come on, church, smile. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? People that get changed will change. When the light gets in their life, that light gives them a whole new view of where they're headed. Amen. Church, listen. If you're trying to drive a car in the dark, you can't see where you're going. But you get some headlights, and they'll start telling you where to make the turns. It'll start telling you what to do. That's what God's all about. And we're to have the light in us that we can shine it into the world. Could you say amen? I know it's 9:45, but I've been locked up all week. Jesus is the light. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the book of Proverbs, notice what he tells us, the 20th chapter. In the 27th verse, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God breathed into man life. You realize that's the only animal God breathed the breath of life in is man. Man's the only one created in God's image, and he breathed into him breath because he wanted man to rule this world just like he rules the world, and he wanted man to love him because he wanted to, not because he had to, and man blew it, but thank God we had a Savior that came as the light to put the light back in our life through the saving grace of his love. Could you say amen? The Bible tells me I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but because of God, I found light, and in that light, I found the life that is the life of the world. Could you say amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And you were sometimes darkness, but now a little light. You are light in the Lord, walking as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is the shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest to the light, for whoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. God understands where we came from, but he also knows where he's taking us. Hello? Some of y'all missed that. And I got to tell me one time, said, preacher, don't you wish you hadn't lived the way you lived? Sure. I'd give anything if I hadn't lived the way I lived. But who I am is made by who I was. And everything I went through opens a door for me to reach the people. When I start talking to somebody that's a drug addict, I'm not telling them something I don't know what I'm talking about. Come on, church. I go down to Turning Point. I was down there one night speaking, and after church, this guy walked up, and he said, yeah, you need a dose of reality. I said, what reality? He said, nobody ever gets completely delivered from drugs. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know that story I told tonight in the third person? He said, yeah. I said, that was me. I was the one that was a drug addict. I was the one that threw its life away. I was the one that God wrapped his arms around and brought me back into this world. And I said, what you see in front of you right now is 30-something years down the road. And a God that did it for me is the same God that'll do it for you. I sat with him to midnight, but I prayed him through, and God gave him deliverance. Today, he works as a counselor. Glory. Why? Because I got light. God gave me light, and I was able to shine in places I couldn't get to if I didn't know what I was talking about. God uses those things. God had no intentions of me being a drug addict, but the devil tried to destroy my life. When I preached my first sermon, my dad came to me the next day and said, son, don't worry about what you did. So I'll be honest with you, what I did that night was embarrassing. Glory. I remember walking by Papa Doc, and I said, I ain't never doing this again. It's over. Short-lived ministry. My dad looked at me and said, the day you were born, God spoke to me and said, you would take my place, and you would do what I could not do. My dad was a backslid preacher. I made up my mind I'd try another time. Y'all better thank God I got a hold of Brother Hall. Because I went from 4 minutes to an hour and 45 minutes. And he taught me there had to be somewhere in between. Glory. Hello. Amen. But the true reality is, my dad actually made this statement. He said, all those times I didn't know where you were. The times we had to go find you and drag you home or carry you in the house. I never thought you'd live to make last night. But don't worry. Because God put his hand on you the day you were born. I want to tell you something, church. God's put a light in some of you, and you need to open that door and let the light out. You've been hiding it long enough. You've been standing back long enough. It's time for the church to open up and let the world know there is a God that loves you, that cares about you, that will reach into your life and change you forever. Colossians 1 and 12. Give thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to the partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Romans chapter 13, for the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Glory. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul said, hey, get a hold of the armor of God. The first thing you're going to understand is that armor, and all that it is the armor of light. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's getting God loose in our lives. 1 Peter 2 and 9. Be ye of the chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into light. Glory. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure, doing all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that it may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Glory. The world's moral sense has disappeared. And the sad part about it is we got folks in the church says, oh, well, that was wrong then. It's not wrong now. That's not what this says. I had somebody tell me the other day, you need to get a more modern look at the word. I'm still looking at the same word I was looking at 40 years ago, and it says the same thing now it said then. I used to make this statement just to make old folks happy. I would go southeast Alabama to preach, and folks down there, Jesus couldn't even go to church because he wore a beard. I'm serious. They was old-fashioned. It was so bad, woman cut her hair, they'd measure it. Had a preacher went to one church, this lady walked up, she said, honey, I believe that's Bob. And the lady looked at her and said, no, this guy named Charles cut my hair. Lord. But they were pointing out the fact she was supposed to just let it just keep growing, never cut it. I mean, they were them kind of folks. And I'd go down there to preach, and they'd think, oh, that's that young whippersnapper. He don't know nothing about wholeness. And I came up with a saying. I put my hand in my pocket. I walk out. I said, bless God. If it's wrong 20 years ago, it's wrong now. And they jump, whoa, glory. And they shout, and they get the word around. We got a wholeness preacher. They packed the building out the next night. I didn't say nothing I didn't believe. If it's wrong 40 years ago, it's still wrong today. I didn't say I believed what they believed. I just said I believed in righteousness, holiness, and deliverance. Come on, church. Amen. I'm not going to get hung up on whether or not you cut your hair or don't cut your hair. I'm going to get hung up on whether or not you're living right, and maybe that's why you're rebelling. I could leave that alone, I understand, but hey, I'm the shepherd, and I got some sheep been running on the outside of the camp, so I'm trying to get the hook on the neck to pull them back in. Glory. Because listen, we're living in the last day, church. God's looking for lights into a dark world. He's not looking for folks that are trying to blow the light out or hide it so they could be like everybody else. Then right at the last minute, jerk the cover off. And say, hey, I'm one of y'all. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, stick with your notes. Why? Didn't have time to read them enough this morning. Glory. I mean, I wrote it. I know what's here. Here's the problem. 2 Corinthians 4. In whom the God of this world, small g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every hand, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not despaired. Persecuted, but we're not cast down. And we are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, in the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. So, preacher, what are you talking about? The people around us are like we used to be. They're blinded by the things of this world. They don't understand, and they can't comprehend. But somehow, we've got to get the light to them. And if you'll try, God will give you ways to do so. I'm fixing to close. I was going up 280 one night. I was headed to revival down below Childersburg. And I used to have certain places I stopped because I felt safe. I had one place I stopped in Birmingham one night. A guy had to pull a 357 on a kid, had a knife. like they shoot him right there. And I busted out laughing. The guy looks after me after the cops got there and said, "Preacher, what was you laughing about?" I said, "The boy picked up the top of a garbage can like it was going to stop that 357 bullet." I thought that was a safe place to that night. I found me somewhere else to stop after that. But I was out on 280 and I stopped at this place and I went in, and I got to be honest with you, it probably wasn't the greatest place to stop. There's people hanging around there all the time, and I knew they were drinking. But I stopped there and get something to drink on the way, and I'd stop and get something to drink on the way back. And this one night in particular, I went through. And I stopped, and I was dressed for church, kind of like I am right now. Of course, I didn't have a tie on because I didn't wear ties during the week. I went down and preached that night, and I come back through, and I was in blue jeans, tennis shoes. I stopped, and the guy said, "Hey, you come in here in a suit earlier." I said, "Yes, sir. I was on a business trip, but the business is over. I'm headed home now. I want to be comfortable." He said, "What kind of business you in?" I said, "Well, I sell assurance." He said, "Assurance?" I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Like insurance?" I said, "This is better. This pays off without question." He said, "Oh, really?" He said, "What company is it?" I said, "Well, you're probably not familiar with it." And I was pretty sure none of them was familiar with it. He said, "Well, what about this? Is this an Alabama like Blue Cross Blue Shield?" I said, "No, that's a worldwide company. I can go all over the world and be operating for this company and sell." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How'd you get a job like that?" I said, "Well, my dad owns a company." He said, "Oh, well, that explains it. What kind of assurance you got?" I said, "I got fire, life, auto." He said, "Really? Health?" He said, "You got health assurance?" I said, "Sure." I said, "We've even got airplane assurance." Guy said, "Airplane assurance?" I said, "Yeah, if the plane goes down, you go up." Guy in the back corner said, "He's a preacher." I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I thought you said your dad owns a company." I said, "Well, I'm born again. Jesus Christ is my father. According to Paul, I cry my father which art in heaven. And so therefore God's my father, so my father owns a company. And I get to sell this wheel, this contract that he has with everybody. And if you get in it, you got assurance that God will take care of you no matter what happens in your life." You know, three of those guys walked outside, threw the beer cans in the garbage can, started talking about problems in their life. Before I left, I prayed with them. The next night, they were sitting on the back row at the church. They were in the altar giving their heart to God. Amen. Before the week was out, four more of them ended up in church giving their heart to God. One of them looked up and said, "You got to be one of the craziest preachers I ever met, but I appreciate the fact you talked to me." Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. There's a world outside waiting on somebody to put a little light in their life, and we need to get lit ourselves so we can show them a light of God that'll break the barrier of darkness in their life. Stand with me all over the house. All this year, everything we do in this church is going to be geared toward the fact that our light needs to shine to a lost and dying world. When I evangelized, I operated under a ministry called Voice of Hope Ministries. We operated a website called The Beacon of Hope. The man designed the website had a lighthouse on it, and the light would flash across the thing as it come on, and in the middle of it, it would have written, "Where there's joy, there's peace. Where there's peace, there's hope. Where there's hope, there is love. Where there is God, there's the answer." There's a world around us needs to know God has the answers. Some of you need to understand God has the answer. God's light is sufficient to take away all the darkness in our lives if we're willing to shut the door to the darkness and let the light shine. And all he asked is the privilege to shine through you to a lost and dying world. Father, I love you today and I thank you, God, for your presence, for your power, for your glory. Father, minister to your people today. Touch us with your grace. God, shine the light of your love in us and through us like never before.